From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Jennifer Westaway in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Every town I go in, there's a street. Name of the street. Funky, funky Broadway. Republican delegates around the country are boarding planes and heading to funky, funky New York City, where Democrats outnumber Republicans 5-1. For next week's Republican National Convention, there will be lots of convention activity to keep them busy, from early morning breakfast meetings to political meet and greets to swanky uptown parties. But to help them decide how to spend their downtime in the downtown, we've invited three longtime New Yorkers, Calvin Trillin, Gay Talese, and Susan Cheever, to help us give the RNC delegates a sense of what to expect from that little island in the middle of the Hudson. We start in New York, where Washington Post bureau chief Michael Powell has been writing about the city's preparations for the convention. Michael, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What's the feeling on the streets right now in New York City?
I don't know. Probably not unlike waiting for a hurricane to arrive on the west coast of Florida. I think actually people are, as you allude to, this is probably the most Democratic Party spot in the United States, out of maybe Telegraph Avenue, and it's, you know, for that reason, I mean, I think people, there's not a lot of Republicans here, but I think also at this point, anyone who is still in the city is basically just sort of resolved that they'll go about the next 6 or 7 days without going anywhere near Madison Square Garden.
Well, are they still in the city? I mean, when you're out in the streets, does it look ghost townish or just sort of normal for this time of year?
You know, it's always, I mean, of course, in late August, it's always pretty quiet
yeah.
in New York, or as quiet as New York ever gets. But no, this is certainly extra quiet. I've noticed the last 3 or 4 days that I can pretty much get a seat on the subway whenever I want, and there's certainly a lot less traffic than there would be normally.
How about what it looks like in terms of security? How omnipresent a force?
There's actually, in all seriousness, a quite formidable and one I think might even question at times whether it's over the top security presence here. You certainly, if you go into the Grand Central Station or Penn Station, you notice the men with the rifles, and I think that you're seeing a I think you're seeing a quite formidable security presence here, especially as you get into Midtown.
Yeah, you would normally see guns, but not machine guns or assault rifles over the shoulders.
No, you would see pistols riding on hips.
Okay. I saw a survey. It wasn't a huge sample. I should say that right up front, in a city that's so enormous. I think they spoke to about 1,000 people. Mm. But that 11% of them said they were planning on taking part in the protests that are planned by some people for outside the garden. But more than double that amount said that they were going to take advantage of discounts that were specifically designed for protesters. Even though they won't be protesting, they're going to take these discount coupons.
Yes, this is the underlying mercantile impulse in New York. This is a this is a city that makes its money on such things. Yes, I mean, I think there's you've also seen that play out in that there were an enormous number of listings of people trying to rent out one-bedroom apartments for just extraordinary sums of money to Republicans. Alas, I think the Republicans found out that they could rent a very nice hotel room and get a change of sheets for about, you know, a quarter the price that people were hoping to rent out one-bedroom apartments.
They shopped. How was the whole issue of whether or not protesters could gather in Central Park resolved?
Well, you know, actually, it wasn't really resolved. I mean, it was sort of, if you will, they sort of agreed to disagree, and the grand march, or the grandest of the marches, is going to now just sort of wend its way through Midtown, go by the garden, and then at least city officials hope to sort of dissipate quietly down at Union Square. It is thought, however, that any number of those marchers are then going to head up to Central Park and I think it's going to be sort of a, I guess to take a word from about 35 years ago, it'll be an interesting be-in up there, because there's clearly going to be a lot of people up there with candles and picnics, and the Yippies, speaking of a blast from the past, are planning a million Yippie march, which might be a couple hundred Yippie march, but whatever, up to Central Park. So I think it's going to be sort of interesting to watch what happens in the next couple of days in Central Park, because clearly a lot of people are going to end up there, permit or not.
Well, we will be watching. Michael, thank you for joining us tonight.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Michael Powell is New York Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. He spoke with me from New York. We're talking tonight about what RNC delegates should know about New York City to help them prepare for convention week. Are you a New Yorker? Are you staying in the city this week? How would you tell delegates to experience the real New York? Join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us now from Washington, Connecticut, is Gay Talese, a 49-year veteran New Yorker and author of 7 books, including Unto the Suns and The Kingdom and the Power. Good evening, Gay.
Oh, good evening. I'm in Cheever country. You mentioned that Susan Cheever is going to be part of your show later. I'm out here with the great suburban, ex-West Side Democrat New Yorkers in the land of William Styron and all these wonderful writers and poets who do not want to be in New York this weekend.
Well, you're certainly a ways away from the Grand Canyons of New York City. Also joining us from out of town, from Port Medway, Nova Scotia, is Calvin Trillant, a 43-year resident of New York City, the Deadline poet for The Nation magazine, a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine, and author of Obliviously On He Sails, The Bush Administration in Rhyme, to name one of his books. Welcome, Calvin.
Thanks very much.
Now, Calvin, to you, I don't know if you're aware of this, but what you missed by not being in New York this week was a nude protest by 15 men and women on 8th Avenue. Any regrets?
I don't think we had one of those in Port Medway. I think I would have noticed. It's pretty small. I actually did not get out because of the convention. I live here in the summer and have for 30 years. I realized recently that my daughters, for a long time, didn't even know about 4th of July because they had never been in the country.
Did you celebrate July the 1st, though?
No, July. Yeah, I try to get here on July the 1st because that's Canada Day, and
right.
I like bands playing for my arrival. it's also not almost as well. You can't say democratic because the people can't vote in America. But the last survey I saw, around the time of the Democratic National Convention in Boston, was that. Of the people who would vote in America if they could. I mean, the people who had decided, it was 60-22 in favor of Kerry. So it's a somewhat different country.
Yeah, but the polls down here do make it a little closer. Now, Gay, you're not in town either. What's your excuse?
Well, my excuse is my wife of 45 years, who has sublet a house here in Washington, Connecticut, as you mentioned. I would have been in New York, and I think happily as well, because I don't believe that New York really is affected by major events, because there's so much that is away from the camera. Of course, what we'll see on television the next week or so, not only the in-view of voices coming from the Republican convention, but mm-hmm. the streets of the city that will be centers of protest and probably exhibitionism as well. I believe that if were I in Manhattan, blocks away from the rancor and rhetoric, I would find the New York that I've seen more or less every day, a New York that exists quite apart from the news that's reported about New York. It's a very two-dimensional thing, that which is on camera, that which is reported, and that which goes on beyond the range of reportage. So I wouldn't have been inconvenienced and rather probably welcomed the fact that New York is changing a little bit for this week, that the Republicans are taking, if not taking over the city, at least taking over a few blocks.
Well, it would certainly say something about the character of New York City that it could absorb what some people are saying might be as many as 250,000 protesters in a march on Sunday and have life sort of continue as usual a few blocks away.
Oh, I would think that you could go to Chinatown on Sunday for dim sum and not see the difference. and not to speak of Queens or Brooklyn or someplace like that. I mean, I think I agree with Gay that New York sort of absorbs these things, and you sometimes don't know what's happening. I mean, just in the same way that you don't know, you know, sometimes you read something about some movie star and you say he lives in New York, and you had no idea he lived in New York. You know, I mean, there's just too many people, too much going on to have one event make a big difference.
Now, one of the things that's going to happen next week with the delegates arriving, some of them have never been to New York City before.
I would say that's probably true of a lot of them.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to a couple of them later in the program as well. But I'm interested to hear from both of you, and maybe I can start with you, Gay, on your recommendations. Where would you send a delegate who'd never been in the city before to see the real New York?
Well, I think that one of the sectors of New York I would recommend visitors look in on would be the restaurant kitchens of the city. I think one of the more interesting places to be is not only in the sites that are listed as tourist attractions, but to peek through the swinging doors of the major or even minor restaurants. There's 17,000 restaurants, and I know that the great poet laureate of Manhattan, Calvin Trillin, Bud Trillin to us, knows more about restaurants than I do because he knows so much about so many more things than I do, including cooking. But I do believe, or maybe I believe, he would agree that the Ellis Island of New York now is in the kitchens, where you find so many newly arrived New Yorkers, some of them maybe not legally here, but certainly present and accounted for in the kitchens. So many languages are spoken in the kitchens of New York, whether you're talking about, 21 Club or some little neighborhood place. And I would think that the Republicans could see working New York manifest itself over the steam of sweaty cooks in the restaurants. It's really a great sense of arrival. People who've never had a job before and who don't quite know the English language well enough to be employed elsewhere are finding a place in the kitchens and where they will rise perhaps to become the next Sergio Mancione of Le Cirque someday, which is how he started.
Calvin, do you actually do this in your spare time, stick your nose through the door and peer at kitchen workers at restaurants?
Well, I don't go into the kitchen much, but I go into a lot of restaurants. I agree with Gay. I mean, for instance, I live in the Village, and there's a restaurant around the corner for me that is a Belgian restaurant, has wonderful French cooks, as you might imagine. And I realized at one point that the people who were making the French fries were obviously Ecuadorians, and that's very common. And if you went out to a place, I mean, the big change in American food in recent years, with all the talk about the California cuisine and all this stuff, that the big change was the Immigration Act of 1965, where we got rid of the National Quota Act, which actually let in more English people than wanted to come and excluded Chinese people. So in culinary terms, this was a suicidal policy. And it was based on the notion that people who eat bland food make better citizens than people who don't, which is not true. I think if the delegates went out to Roosevelt Avenue in Queens, and in four or five blocks experienced really national restaurants, I mean, that are pretty much the way they would be in the home country.
I'm going to hold that thought, Calvin. We're going to come right back. We're just going to take a break. We're talking tonight about what Republican delegates should know about New York City to help them make the most of Convention Week. You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Jennifer Westaway sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
You know it too.
This is On Point. I'm Jennifer Westaway, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking tonight about what the delegates at next week's Republican National Convention should know about their host city. If you were a New York ambassador for visiting delegates, where would you take them? What should they pack? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm speaking tonight with Calvin Trillin, deadline poet for The Nation magazine, a 43-year New York resident, and author of Obliviously On He Sails, The Bush Administration in Rhyme. Also with us is Gay Talese, a 49-year New York resident and author of 7 books, including Fame and Obscurity and Honor Thy Father. And joining us now from New York City is Susan Cheever, a columnist for New York Newsday and author of My Name is Bill, Bill Wilson, His Life and the Creation of Alcoholics Anonymous. Welcome, Susan.
It's great to be here.
It's great to speak to you in New York. What are your plans for this who knows what week?
Well, there's so many demonstrations and parties. It's sort of like an endless festival here, and I have to disagree with Gay and Bud that all anybody's talking about is which demonstration they're going to go to. There's the Ring of Hope on Tuesday where we're all going to go out with candles. There's a Women's March tomorrow. There's the Big March on Sunday. So, you know, as somebody who likes to march, I have a tremendous number of choices. But, you know, you were saying what advice should we give the delegates? Mm-hmm. And I think New York is just the best walking city in the world. That's the advice I would give them, to just walk, preferably away from Madison Square Garden, because the part of town where the convention is not the most interesting or the most attractive part of town. But
that was actually a question of mine. Should they venture out of the garden? What area of New York actually are they in?
Well, they're in the sort of they're in the upper left thigh.
The what?
The upper left thigh of Manhattan is where they are.
Well, it sounds great.
Well, maybe they'll like staying there.
Well, they're sort of in the garment district, or it's a commercial area that's just not very interesting. I agree with Susan.
And it's ugly.
And it's ugly. That I think the thing to do. Well, I'm biased because I've always lived downtown, but I would think the thing to do would be to go down to Union Square, particularly on the weekend when there's a wonderful farmer's market there, and then walk from there through the village and then down to Soho and Chinatown. I mean, the wonderful thing about New York is you could actually do that. You wouldn't even have to get into a taxi cab.
And then, I mean, I think since we have 3 New Yorkers here, after they've walked around the West Village, they should walk up to where Gay lives.
Are you ready for that, Gay?
Gay's having an open house.
An open house, and you'll be giving his address at the end of the show.
Yes, he's particularly welcome suburban Republicans.
That's right.
He wants to meet some of them, and...
Oh. And he's going to have a little restaurant going in the...
Well, I think if they would go anywhere, they might drop into the United Nations and show what they think of the world, which the Bush administration had sort of passed over.
I believe that Muhammad Ali did that when he came to New York. He said when he first became champion, he said he was the champion of the world, and he wanted to see the world he was champion of. I thought that was a good instinct.
Well, it sounds like a Republican sentiment. They should definitely go to the United Nations, and then they should walk up the river.
That's right.
There are so many, you know, New York is a city of great neighborhoods, and it's a walking city, and that's what they should do. And they should really, you know, try to get away from the 34th Street, Madison Square Garden, 7th Avenue, 8th Avenue axis as much as they can, because that's really the armpit of the city, or the left thigh, or whatever.
Okay.
I'm not going to go further with the body imagery.
Calvin Trillin, given that these are Republican delegates, what can they expect in terms of that famous New York bonhomie?
Everybody will be friendly. I actually wrote a poem. Remember when Tom DeLay had the idea of putting the delegates in cruise ships in the harbor?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a poem called what Tom DeLay might have had in mind when he hatched the short-lived scheme to use a cruise ship in New York Harbor during the Republican National Convention.
That's a pithy title, Calvin.
Some of my titles are a little longer than the poems.
Nice title.
This one is, a cruise ship in the harbor, thought DeLay, could be a place where decent folks would stay, avoiding all that mob that we detest, New Yorkers who are foreigners at best. We'd still get pictures showing Bush as hero while speaking resolutely at ground zero. A pity it's to Sodom we must drag our George to get him wrapped up in the flag. But I think he's wrong about that. I think New Yorkers will be very friendly. I think New Yorkers are just as friendly as anybody else. I think the big difference in New York, when people talk about how rude people are and everything, is that there's anonymity in New York. And in a small town and all three of us grew up in other places than New York, but in a small town or even a middle-sized city, there's sort of a limit on how nasty you can be to somebody, because you'll probably run into them the next day at the PTA or at the diner or something like that. And in New York, there are too many people, so you really don't feel that limitation. So people occasionally, in small matters, yell at each other in ways that you wouldn't do in a small town. But that doesn't really mean very much. Everybody's very helpful. And I think
people in New York are much more polite than they are anywhere else, just because we have to be. I mean, we're all, you know, living cheek by jowl, and I think people are tremendously courteous. I just had occasion to take my 86-year-old mother to the Princeton University commencement, and it was horrible. And I realized that in a New York subway car, I would have done much, much better. I mean, there's just because we're all jammed together, there's tremendous respect and politeness for all kinds of people that I don't see anywhere else.
Now, I'd like to bring a couple of callers here in on this. Marianne, you're calling from New York City. Welcome to On Point.
Hi.
Do you have a question?
Well, it's not so much a question as just a reminder that back in the days when we were really mad at the French and we were calling things freedom fries, I don't remember who it was that pointed out that the reason why it was so easy to be mad at the French right now is because we had to be nice to New Yorkers because of 9/11. And I'm out here on 8th Avenue getting some errands done because I am a New Yorker. I've lived here all my life, and my home is on the Lower East Side, and I'm getting out of the city. I think it's more for vacation, but I'm kind of afraid about, you know, what will happen in the city. And then I thought, I'm just getting excited about nothing. And then I see all these policemen out here on bicycles tonight.
Oh, really?
It just kind of gives you that feeling that either we're stirring the pot a little too much or whatever. But New Yorkers have lived through a lot, so I'm sure we'll be able to weather this storm, too.
I got a question for you there, Marianne. Do all those police on bikes make you feel safer or somehow make you worry?
Well, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I mean, a native New Yorker. And I just, after going through 9/11, will we ever feel really, really safe? I don't think so. And do those policemen make me feel any safer? I can't tell you yes or no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that if my car was being hijacked or something like that right now, yeah, I feel really good because there's all these policemen out here. Right now, I just think it's a little bit too much stirring the pot.
Okay.
Also, they look a little wimpy on the bike.
Yeah, the bikes are not so good. There was a huge blimp this evening, a gigantic blimp going very low up the East River, and it said on it, Fuji Films, and then in tiny, tiny letters, NYPD.
I think that was a New York police officer with a blimp. They're so overweight, it seems to me.
Yeah,
probably Dr. Trilling will tell us why, but bad food.
I'd like to bring someone new into the conversation. A delegate joining us from Newark, Ohio, is Sherry Hottinger, a Republican delegate, obviously. This will be Sherry's first trip to New York City. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you very much.
What would you like to know about New York to help you prepare for your trip?
Well, they have our schedules packed almost every day, it seems like. My husband and I are flying in tomorrow morning, and so we only have one day to ourselves to experience New York City without a scheduled event here and be here. I guess I wanted to know, what would you suggest we do that day?
Oh, well, let's take a quick suggestion from each of you. Gay, do you want to start?
Well, I like Susan Cheever's idea of walking around the city because one is never surprised, I don't think, by what one sees, because there's so much within the streets of the city and the personalities who wander through that you're amazed that they're there. I mean, you see all sorts of recognizable faces, show business faces, sports heroes. I expect one of these days I may be sitting in Elaine's restaurant and I'll see Muqtada al-Sadr walking in. I mean, it's such a city of constant shock value, but on the other hand, it's so blasé, or we become so accustomed to seeing something unusual that it becomes normal.
Calvin, how about you? Where would you send Sherry and her husband on their one free day?
Well, where are you staying, Sherry?
We are staying at the Marriott Marquis on Times Square.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Where the
okay.
Ohio delegation will be.
I would get out of that hotel to start with. I tried to get the American Institute of Architecture to award an ugliest building prize every year, and they'd call it the Marriott Cup. They built some of the, and that's a horror, that place. But anyway, I would get on the subway at Times Square on the 1 or the 9. And
okay.
It's so easy now. You just get a card and you flip it through and you get on the 1 or the 9 going downtown. And I would go down as far as Sheridan Square, Christopher Street, Sheridan Square. Then you're in my neighborhood. Now I know where to tell you to go.
Okay.
And I would hang around the village, walk through Soho. This is all easily done on a map. You can see where you are. And maybe even walk to Chinatown and have. I was in Newark. Isn't Newark where the university is? Newark, Ohio.
We have a branch of Ohio State University in Newark, Ohio. We have Denison University very close by in Granville.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Denison. And then I would go to Chinatown, where you really feel like you're in a foreign country. And have a dim sum lunch, you know, a dumpling lunch, when you don't need to know anything on the menu, because as the things pass by, you just say, yeah, I'll have that one. The people don't speak English, but it doesn't make any difference.
And point at what you want on the trolley on wheels.
Point at what you want. and then maybe even, you know, walk farther down. But Susan's idea is absolutely right. It's a city where you can cover, with a possible exception of San Francisco, it's the only city in the country where you can cover 8 or 9 different neighborhoods on a walk.
Mm-hmm.
I often start in my house, walk through the village, walk through the South Village, which is Italian, walk through Soho, an awkward block or two in the machine tool district that's not very interesting, and then through Little Italy, and then into Chinatown. And that's a 20-minute walk, 25-minute walk, and you've been to those different worlds, really. So
right.
I think Susan's absolutely right. You just walk. Bring your good shoes, not your fancy Republicans. I know you. I know Republicans always have a fancy pair of shoes in the closet, but also bring your flat, regular Newark, Ohio shoes.
Okay.
And do some walking.
Susan Cheever, I'm going to hold off on asking you for your suggestion. Everyone liked your first one anyway. But
yeah, bring your running shoes, is, you know, so that you can walk long distances comfortably, I think is a really good piece of advice that everybody's getting around to. I would, you know, don't miss the New York Public Library, which is the most astonishing library in the world. And also Ground Zero is... something to see even now, you know, and St. Paul's Chapel and J&R Music World, the technical center of the world. This is all within a one-block area.
You know, Sherry, what's interesting about all that is nobody said Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, you know?
That's true.
Do you have
Ellis Island is actually, they've done a wonderful job in restoring Ellis Island, and It's pretty down there. There's a path down the Hudson where you can walk, or if you bring your roller skates, you can roller skate, or you can actually rent bikes.
Ah.
And you can bike down the path down the Hudson and get to the World Finance Center, and then go down to where you would take the the ferry to Ellis Island, and right across from there, in fact, is the New York part of the Museum of the American Indian, which in the old customs house, and it's lovely.
By the Irish Hunger Memorial on that bike ride, which you also shouldn't miss.
Irish Hunger Memorial and several hundred Holocaust museums.
Okay, yes. Sherry?
Yes.
Did you have a comment to make?
Well,
you've been once before, haven't you?
We went to the Statue of Liberty. It was a year before 9/11, actually, because we have pictures of us standing there with the towers behind us. It was just so ironic. But we didn't get further than that, so we have done at least that little part of it. But I mean, that's not really seeing New York City. So
this might be heresy to suggest, but have you considered skipping some of the scheduled events so that you might be able to see a little bit more of the New York City?
I'm actually skipping my first delegate breakfast I'm supposed to be at is Monday morning, because CBS Early Show has selected me as a delegate makeover on Monday morning.
What does that mean, a delegate?
Are they going to make over into a Democrat?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know if that was conservative to liberal or what that meant, but no. So I'm actually already skipping one of my first events.
Are they going to take you shopping?
They've already purchased my beautiful outfit, they told me.
Where did they purchase it?
They didn't tell me that.
Oh, that might be a big deal, Sherry.
I mean, we have some really nice stores, Sherry.
Good.
No, but they shop, those CBS people shop in Newark, Ohio, usually.
Well, I do have a question about, I have a friend that just went recently to New York City, and she was telling me that Rolexes are very popular around your city on every street. Is that? She was kind of making a joke, but
said
you could find Rolex watches.
Rolex watches.
Source of.
Oh, they are. I think you have to put the Rolexes in quotation marks.
Yes, I know.
Particularly on Canal Street. They are Rolex type watches.
Yes.
And they look like Rolexes.
They aren't real Rolexes?
I'm
oh, no.
This will disillusion your friends, but there's a little bit of what is called in New York knockoff.
Yes. She was just grabbing me a little bit and saying, get one of those Rolex watches and one of those really unique little purses that are on every street corner or on the street. So
that aren't quite
that.
Gucci. I'm gonna hold you there because we just have to stop for a break. But Sherry, thank you for speaking with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Sherry Hottinger is a delegate to next week's convention. She spoke with us from her hometown of Newark, Ohio. Calvin, Gay, and Susan are staying with us. After this break, we're discussing what RNC delegates need to know about New York. What advice do you have for these out-of-towners? Where should they eat? How much money is it going to cost them? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Jennifer Westaway. This is On Point. That's all right. Just like the need, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. This is On Point. I'm Jennifer Westaway, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking tonight about what the RNC delegates need to know about New York City. You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're speaking tonight with Susan Cheever, a columnist for New York Newsday and author of My Name is Bill, Bill Wilson, His Life and the Creation of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're also joined by Calvin Trillin, staff writer for the New York Magazine, and author of Obliviously On He Sails, The Bush Administration in Rhyme, and Gay Talese, New York author of 7 books, including Thy Neighbor's Wife and The Kingdom and the Power, is with us. And joining us now is another delegate from Salem, Oregon, Stacy Panis. Stacy flies to New York tonight for her first visit to the city. Stacy, welcome to On Point.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
What are your plans for your week in New York? And I don't mean the time that you're going to be spending in Madison Square Garden, but outside in the city.
Well, son, I get there tomorrow. I think I'll get into New York about 11 in the morning. I fly all night, so I think we're going to be staying at the Roosevelt Hotel. So I'll come check into the hotel and connect with some people that are already there. Sunday night, I'll be going to see the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway and then going to a big Greek dinner dance that one of the members of our delegation is putting on. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then Tuesday, I'll be going to the Statue of Liberty for a tour of that. So that's something I'm really excited about. And I also want to go visit the Empire State Building. And then Tuesday, I'll also be going on a tour of the Fox News studios.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any free time?
Yeah, we do have some free time. Monday, there's convention session in the morning, and then Monday evening, Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening, and Thursday evening from 8 to 11 p.m. But during the day, we have free time in there.
Susan Cheever, it's your turn now. Do you have any suggestions for Stacy about how she might spend some of her time?
Well, you know, the Roosevelt Hotel, she's staying in the right hotel. It's right near Grand Central Station. It's an old hotel. It's a very sort of New York hotel. In fact, I think it's the hotel that has the clock where Fitzgerald... What?
That was the Biltmore next to the road.
Oh, sorry. All right. It's next to the Biltmore.
It's next to the really famous one, Stacy.
No, never mind. Grand Central Station is an amazing place to go. There are all kinds of things. And, again, the New York Public Library. It, you know, any three-block area in New York yields a week's worth of wonderful things. Mm-hmm. She should probably just walk around the block.
I want to bring a caller in on this. John is calling from Queens, New York. John, welcome to On Point.
Hi. I'm a liberal. I've been living in New York for 25 years, and I am against Bush. But what has amazed me in the past months as I visit the East Village and places like that is the amazing animosity toward the president in this city. I've known that New York is liberal, but it's just go to the Village or something like that. Or you talk to any young person that I know. I'm 61 years old, but I talk to any young person, and they just say, we've got to beat Bush. So I'm just trying to tell the Republican delegates that after they've gone to see Naked Boys singing in Greenwich Village, they should be careful when they walk around if they're really letting people know they're Republicans, because they're going to get harangued. I guess that's my point.
Okay.
Well, in the first place, Stacy has seen Naked Boys singing. It started in Salem, Oregon.
Stacy, I'd like to go with you to you with a question there before we let you go. Are you concerned at all about how you're going to be received in New York City?
I've heard about that a lot of protesters are planning to be in New York. To respond to the caller, I'm 22, so I'm the youngest delegate from Oregon, and I have a lot of friends my age, and I'm also National Committee Woman for the Oregon Young Republicans, and we're really excited about President Bush, because I think President Bush has a lot of policies that are good for young people, such as health savings accounts to help us keep our health care costs down, and we can make good health care decisions for ourselves.
You know what, Stacy? You're going to get a lot of time to talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not really worried about the protesters so much. I mean, the Constitution gives them a right to peaceably assemble, and I hope that they respect the Constitution and peaceably assemble, and they have a right to protest, but I just hope that they won't harass other people and throw things and get violent.
Okay, if I could just get in there. Stacy, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you have a great week.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on.
Stacy Pan.
Speaking as a protester, I don't think...
Can you hold on one there, Susan? I just want to help identify for listeners who Stacy Panis was. She was an RNC delegate from Salem, Oregon. She is heading to New York tonight for the RNC, and it will be her first visit to the city. Sorry, Susan, go ahead.
Well, I don't think we're protesting Republicans. I mean, I don't know what any other protester is going to do, but, you know, some of my best friends are Republicans. I think the idea that we incredibly sophisticated and savvy New Yorkers are going to stoop to kind of petty harassment is silly. I think that New Yorkers are very passionate politically, but they're extremely nosy and curious. And I think our curiosity and our hospitality is going to trump, you know, whatever we may feel about what people believe.
I guess the thing to keep in mind, though, is that it's not the convention is not simply drawing delegates from across the country. It's also drawing protesters from across the country. So we're not necessarily
naked.
Yeah, we're getting naked. They're protesting clothes.
Yeah. But Jennifer, let me interject a thought here.
Do.
As a New Yorker who is now away from the city for a while newcomers such as your last guest, Stacy, and others are getting their first impression of New York, and New Yorkers, I I do hope they will know that what they're hearing in the way of protests is not really the great voice of New York, but rather a small sector of protests, which of course we all celebrate, the right to protest. But New York is just more than Manhattan too. There are four other boroughs that are part of New York City, and no doubt, while I'm not among them, there are people who support Bush and the Republican attitude toward politics, no matter what aspect of political life. If you go to Staten Island or to parts of the other boroughs, there will be a compatibility with the echoings of the stages of the Republican convention.
On that note, Gay, I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap it up.
I'm
run out of time. Okay.
Well, okay, thank you.
Thank you all for joining us this evening. Gay Talese is the author of Unto the Sons, Honor Thy Father, just a couple of his books. He joined us from Washington, Connecticut. Calvin Trillin joined us from Port Medway, Nova Scotia. He is Deadline poet with The Nation and, of course, a staff writer with The New Yorker. And Susan Cheever, who is in New York City. She's a Newsday columnist in New York and author of My Name is Bill, Bill Wilson, His Life and the Creation of Alcoholics Anonymous. Coming up, Jack Beatty joins me to look back at the events of this past week. I'm Jennifer Westaway, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. In a moment, I'll be joined by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty. First, let's listen back to the sounds of this past week.
The weaknesses at Abu Ghraib were well known, and that corrective action could have been taken and should have been taken. We believe that there is institutional and personal responsibility right up the chain of command as far as Washington is concerned.
What we really believe is happening and should come out of this is that soldiers are doing it the right way, by law, without abusing detainees, and still producing intelligence.
What we have learned, according to them, is that they have recovered already the two black boxes associated with both aircraft. Obviously, it's far too early to determine causation.
Should there be attempts to invalidate the rules or any other attempts, we will make every effort possible as an Olympic committee to protect Paul and to protect his standing as the Olympic champion.
With respect to the question of relationships, my general view is that freedom means freedom for everyone. People ought to be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want to.
During our visit to Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Sistani, that we received an initiative which he called the last moment initiative.
This president can put an end to this kind of politics in this country, and we can go on with the business of dealing with the real questions of surrounding Iraq, surrounding our challenge abroad, where the president has created more enemies abroad than friends and lost more jobs here than he's created.
I owe a great deal to President Bush for the strength that he gave to me, to my city, and to my country when we went through our worst days. He was there in every respect, fulfilled every promise, and has brought America back stronger than ever.
Two more reports are released on the atrocities at Abu Ghraib prison. Two planes crashed outside Moscow, killing 89 investigators suspect terrorists. Paul Ham's gold medal is dimmed by controversy. Vice President Dick Cheney speaks out against a constitutional ban on gay marriage. A deal ends the fighting in and around the Imam Ali Mosque in Najaf. Former Senator Max Cleland speaks out against campaign ads attacking John Kerry's war record. And former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani stumps for President Bush at a campaign rally in New Mexico. Jack Beatty, that was the week that was. The story next week surely will be a political one. Let's talk Republicans.
Yes, let's. They're gathering in New York, and it's a good time to just sort of step back and say, you know, who are the Republicans? And looking at election returns and census data, a picture emerges. The overwhelming picture is they are the party of white people, just overwhelmingly. And secondly, and almost as overwhelmingly, they are the party of white men. Republicans, the Republicans carry every quintile of white male in the electorate, from the richest to practically the poorest, without exception, with only one exception, rather, white men who belong to unions. Narrowly, they vote for the Democrats. So this is strikingly a party of white men. And, of course, the other side of that is Democrats are in trouble for getting so few of them. Mm. It's also the party of evangelicals and fundamentalists. 40% of Bush's vote in 2000 came from that group. It's the party of people who live in the country. Shanksville, Pennsylvania, for example, where the United Airlines flight crashed that was headed toward the Capitol. Per capita income, $21,000, went for Mr. Bush by 70% in 2000. Mm. It's the party of exurbia, high-growth counties in suburban and rural areas within 100 miles of cities and with more than 100,000 residents, strongly, overwhelmingly Republican. So that's the sort of demographic picture of the party. And, you know, and of course, it's the party of corporate managers in general, and rich people in particular are some of them. And a friend of mine at the University at Millsaps College sent me some research on this. It's striking. It appears that the rich are badly represented by the Republican Party. Over the last three decades, the income of the richest Americans has risen at a rate four times faster under Democrats than under Republicans.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the race and the party. That's not the look the party's planning to present at the convention next week. They're going to have something like 65% more African-American delegates at this convention than they did in 2000. Let's talk about Bush, President Bush. He had a good week towards the end of the week.
He did, and a flurry of polls show him actually capturing a narrow lead over Kerry in Pennsylvania. Very bad news for Kerry. That was Gork took that state. It shows him moving ahead in Ohio, in Missouri, and in Wisconsin, and also moving ahead in national polls, which too close to call, but still he's got the lead. This is good news. Whatever happens in New York, those numbers are bound to go up. And, of course, you say, well, what has happened that could have made that create? Well, you know, nothing in Iraq. It's been nothing but bad news, pretty much all bad news about the economy, disappointing jobs, growth in poverty, growth in the uninsured and so on. The only thing I can think of is the Swift Boat ad that seems really to have damaged John Kerry in these swing states.
And boosted the president. Jack, thank you for this.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure working with you.
I've enjoyed it, too. Jack Beatty is On Point's news analyst. On Point is produced by Meghna Chakrabarty, Julie Jopp, Eileen Imada, Jane Manners, Chris O'Connor, John Roberts, James Ross, and Karen Schiffman. With help from Michael Garth and Tim Skog, our senior producer is Graham Griffith. I'm Jennifer Westaway, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.